The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Well, today we're going to look at the topic of forgiveness. What a great song to begin. I'm going to get you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, or if you don't have one, there's one in front of you, and you could grab that one. You could turn to page 799 in that, and that would take you right to Matthew chapter 18. In response to a question that Jesus was asked, how many times should I forgive somebody? And Peter's always the one that kind of jumped up to talk whenever he was around Jesus. And he was asking, you know, is it seven times? That's quite a bit. Jewish law was teaching like three would be a good, but they taught lots of things on forgiveness that were a little bit different than what Jesus felt. But Jesus said, no, it's not seven times. I want you to think 77 times. And so those that have been really hurt before I've seen them try to figure that out. Where do you think I'm at? 42? Am I at 36? But what Jesus is actually doing is he's bringing back his listeners to something they knew about. The Jewish reader would know that in Genesis chapter 4, a guy named Lamech said, hey, if someone avenges Cain's death seven times, then I want everyone to know that if anyone ever touches me and hurts me, they should be avenged 77 times. So Jesus is going, remember that guy who was a little bit off the wall? And he thought, you know, that if someone did harm him, they was going to really get them 77 times. Yeah, it's like that, but the opposite. That's how much we forgive. And so he began to tell them a parable. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And so as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. What does that mean? Well, a talent would take one of these listeners 20 years to accumulate in funds. 20 years of wages would be one talent, so 10,000 talents would be 200,000 years of labor. So millions upon millions upon billions, actually billions of dollars in our funds today. So this guy was owed everything. And since, of course, he was not able to pay back, how could you pay back 200,000 years of labor wages? The master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he would have be all sold off. And the servant fell on his knees before him and said, please be patient with me. He begged, I will pay back everything, which is impossible, obviously, right? The servant's master looked at him and had pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But that servant, he went out from that presence and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Well, 100 denarii. A denarii would be one day's wage. So about 100 days' wage, which would be significant debt, but in comparison, of course. So he grabbed onto him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back, which is possible, actually. But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt back. So when the other servants saw all this that had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and they told the master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you today. We come before you with, again, humbled hearts, recognizing that in this story, we are the one that owed the debt that could never be repaid. And because of your grace and your mercy, you've canceled that debt. And so it's out of gratitude that we sit here today. And so we pray as we come to your word that you would begin to do something in our hearts, that you would help us understand the way you see forgiveness in such a way that it would begin to pour out of us to the relationships of brokenness all around us, that we would begin to be able to breathe hope into other people. We pray this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Well, that's what we're here talking about. We're in a relationship series and trying to breathe life, breathe hope into relationships to resuscitate, to bring hope there. And I want you to know today is actually, it's not an easy topic, a topic of forgiveness, but actually it's kind of the root topic of the whole Bible. It's what it's about. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're here today, as you claim to be a Christian or a follower of Jesus Christ, this topic is so important because it's actually a way in which we're called to live in relationship with other people. So last week we talked about brokenness, how brokenness is everywhere. We're broken. We're in need of forgiveness. And the people around us are broken. And in order to do life with each other, in order to do life with people, we're going to bump up against brokenness. We're going to get hurt. We're going to get cut. We're going to get marred a little bit because people are broken. People do things. They hurt people. We hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And so the cycle continues. And the only way to actually breathe hope into a relationship that is full of brokenness is this concept of forgiveness. And so I want to take the time to really look at it today, and I want us to reflect on some of the principles in here. It's going to be a little bit different, I would say. This is going to be a little bit more of a, here's a whole bunch of things I want you to know, and so there's a bunch of points and those things, and so what I did for you, for those that feel like you're going to miss something, and so you're going to hurt your hand, and you might sprain something, I have actually printed out the notes in a short form available at the Connecting Point afterwards for you. So if you want to relax and sit and enjoy, you can do that. If you want some notes afterwards, you can go back to the Connecting Point and get those. Maybe we'll make those available online as well for those listening. So last week we looked at this verse called of Ephesians 2. In Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 2, says, always be humble and gentle, right? This humble and gentleness is our posture of humility, understanding our own brokenness, our own position, our own need of forgiveness. And then by doing that, we be patient with each other, make allowances for each other's faults because of our love, assuming that others have faults and others are broken too, and we're broken, and so we need to be patient in that. The next verse that I want to kind of look at is Colossians 3. The same Paul writes, make allowances for each other's faults, but then he says, and forgive anyone who offends you. So anyone that comes and offends you and does something against you, we're called to forgive them because why? And this is what's really important today. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must, it's a harsh word, but it's all throughout Scripture and Jesus' teachings as well, you must then forgive others. In other words, it's the way that you live out. So because other people have faults, the assumption is they have them and you have them, and so we need to be patient with each other. And when they do something against us, the answer or reply for us, because of what the Lord has done for us in forgiveness, is actually to forgive them. Sounds easy. It's not so easy, is it, though, as we go through this? And so I want to make this a very practical time for us today. The humble part, we have to remind ourselves. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we claim that we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and we're not living in truth. And so the Bible is very clear, and that's why we talked a lot last week about our own brokenness. Is that our sin condition is our brokenness, that we believe that we are broken, that we are sinful people, that we are in need of Christ to die for us on the cross, and that the only way that we actually get to ever end up in his presence in heaven, the only way we ever get to experience his grace and mercy by our humility in being aware that we are sinful people and in need. And so it's humility we do that. He says, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, so if we admit, or confess means to simply say, God, you're right. What you see in me is flawed. What you see in me is brokenness. What you see in me is sin. And to confess it means you're right. I agree with you. So if we confess our sins with him, which means I admit that what I'm doing is wrong, he is faithful on his end. On his end to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And so our humility, our posture of coming before him means that he's able to be faithful in what he's committed to, which is to cancel the debt and bring us into relationship with himself. It's amazing, amazing good news. When did he do this? Romans 5:8 we looked at last week to remind you coming back. Romans chapter 5:8 says, God did this for us while we were still sinners. So he died for us. He forgave us our debt. He did this while we were still sinners. So when did Jesus pay for your sin is actually 2,000 years ago on the cross. In other words, scripture would say, I believe that he thought about you in your sin nature, in your condition, and what you have done and what you will do. There was a day in which he paid that debt, and it was over 2,000 years ago. The reason I need you to do this is we talk a lot about how do we breathe hope into relationships is through forgiveness, but the only way that we'll actually ever be able to forgive another person is understand deeply, breathe in deeply of how Jesus went about this for you and me. Because it's out of that understanding and breathing that deeply in that we're actually going to be able to breathe that out. Because outside of this, outside of understanding what Jesus has done for us on the cross and how he went about it and the fact that he loved us before we actually knew who he was, he loved us before we recognized him, before we cared, before we even humbled ourselves, he died for us, he paid that debt. That is really, really important when it comes to how we are gonna go about forgiving other people. And so we're gonna look at that. I'm just kind of setting the stage. Breathe in, reminding ourselves what scripture says about our relationship with him. Vitally important as we begin to try to exhale and breathe in. Breathe out hope into other relationships. So the one thing you have to understand that throughout all this, I think you can safely say that forgiveness is not fair. That's a big deal. It's a big deal for me as a kid because I grew up wanting life to be fair all the time. That was just a thing. I have a justice part of me, what most people do, but I was just over the top. And so one of the phrases my mom had to say to me on a regular basis, was, Sean, who said that life was fair? Because I would always cry out. I'd be the one crying out, that's not fair. That's not fair. And her response always was the same. Who said it was supposed to be fair? And I'd like, oh, right. I mean, have you ever had those moments when you ever had to share something? Me and my sister, we always had to share either a chocolate bar or a pop, you know, and so it was like, here, share this. That was so hard because it was this fairness inside of me. Like we would take out the chocolate bar, I remember times unwrapping it, lay it on the counter, and you take the knife and then you have to make rules about this whole thing, right? Whoever cuts, the other one picks. That's fair, right? And I mean, you were so scared because you knew you were going to get less than if you did it wrong. Or the pop and the two cups and the level and the little drip here, little drip there, and hoping the one would mess up because they did it and you get to pick. That was me. I vented every which way how to make it fair. But scripture is very, very clear on this, that actually forgiveness has nothing to do with fairness. Has everything, there's a lot to do with justice. But it has nothing to do with fairness. And forgiveness is not cheap and it is not free, but it is not fair. What scripture teaches us is that Jesus paid for our sin in our place because of what we do. That's not fair. But that is the heart of forgiveness. Jesus, who knew no sin, had done no sin of his own, took our sin on the cross and paid the debt that we could not pay. That is not fair. And it is the heartbeat of our faith in Jesus Christ. And since we breathe that in our relationship with him, you can expect that the way of following Jesus is not gonna be about fairness. And if you look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the very first sermon in Matthew that he preached in Matthew chapters 5, 6, 7, it just messes with everyone's head because he's consistently talking about how it is not fairness. I'll give you an example. He says, you've heard it said, right? It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. Well, that's fair. That makes sense. You know, if you grew up that way, kids, brothers and sisters, and he punched me, I punched him, you know. They poked me, you poked me. They hurt me, I'm gonna hurt them. They hit me in the eye, so I hit them in the eye. I mean, you get that. That's the way that makes sense. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. See, Jesus knew something, that if we were going to live in a 50-50 world, a fair relationship, and I know so many marriages where they start off saying, we have a 50-50 relationship. It's just really fair. We really look out. I'm going, oh, you're in big trouble. Because if you're going to be on fairness, the moment that I do something wrong, the thing I don't need my wife to do is make it even. Because I'm in trouble. But if you look at the news and you look what's going on in our society, you'll see that everyone justifies every action of hate, anger, violence based upon the fairness principle, right? How's that working for us? Jesus said, if it's eye for eye and tooth for tooth, then all of you are just gonna be blind and toothless really quick. So I tell you something else. Don't resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. Well, that's not fair. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, then give him your cloak as well. Well, that's not fair. And if someone forces you to go 1 mile, then go with them 2 miles. That doesn't make sense at all. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. These are the kinds of things that Jesus preached. And he said, this is what it's going to look like if you are gonna follow me, if you're gonna become a follower of mine, if you're gonna follow Jesus. So if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ yet, you need to understand something right up front. Following Jesus Christ is not about fairness. The heartbeat is forgiveness, grace, and mercy. So I wanna give you a list of things that forgiveness is not. First of all, forgiveness is not forgetting, okay? So all you really need for forgetting is a really bad memory. If you have one, you're probably happier than the rest of us. But forgiveness is not forgetting. In fact, I would suggest the things that I'm talking about today, I might say them quickly today. I might go through some points really fast. But I want you to know I am not talking about trivial things. I am talking about substantial wrongs and pains and hurts that you've gone through. The big things. And I'm not suggesting to you that these are easy things to deal with, easy things to forgive. But I'm suggesting that this is actually the only way to bring about healing when there's brokenness. And so forgiveness is not forgetting. People think that time, right? Time usually forget things. And so as people say, you know what, over time, it'll go away. It will not go away over time. It will get worse over time. It will get rooted and bitter in your heart if you do not deal with things. I will say this, I'll push it even farther, that Jesus actually is permanently reminded of our sin. He bears with him today the scars in his hands, in his feet, and in his sides of our sin. He is forever changed in all of history and for all time to come because of our sin. He is not the same today because of sin. He is different. He has been glorified. He's been reunited with the Father. He's alive and well and sits at the right hand of authority. But he is forever different. There's going to come a day when we can look him in the eye. And we can see on his hands, his feet, and his side the marks of our sin. And so it's not about forgetting. It's about actually dealing with the situation properly in a way that is able to cancel the debt. So that's what we're looking at today. God actually does not forget our sin. He's able to see our sin in light of the work of Jesus on the cross. That's why baptism is so important today. It's so exciting. It's actually the act of us dying to ourselves and placing ourselves in the work of Christ. That it was his death we identify with. Therefore, when God looks upon us, he doesn't see the sin as being owing. He sees the death of Jesus satisfying the debt, paid for in full. So it's not forgotten, it's dealt with forever. That's amazing. And so in baptism, we identify, we say, I want to identify with the death of Jesus Christ. So when God looks upon me, that day when I come before him in the judgment seat, he actually doesn't see my sin debt, he sees the payment of Christ. Oh, that's how we want to identify with him. It's where our hope comes from as a follower of Jesus Christ. So it's not forgetting. And forgiveness is not excusing. Forgiveness is actually needed when there is no excuse. Excusing does not, it's not the process of forgiveness. You actually can't forgive somebody when they have an excuse or if they're excusing, right? And so what we looked at last week was that it's our humility, it's humbling ourselves that actually releases forgiveness to take its work. And so when we humble ourselves before the Father, when we ask him for forgiveness, admitting, confessing that he is correct about us, that the way he sees us is true, that humility actually opens the way for him to forgive, to us experience actually the forgiveness that he offers on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for everyone's sin. It's in humility that we confess, that we accept that judgment on us, that he's able to place us in Christ for the debt to be paid. He's forgiven all of us. And so it's not about excuse. In fact, when you blame shift and you make excuses, you're not in a humble state of mind. It's when we come before the Father and we say, I am without excuse, I am to blame for my sin, that we get to experience grace and mercy. And so forgiveness is not about excusing. If someone has a great excuse, then you don't need to forgive them. You need to understand. You need to listen. You need to pay attention. You need to accept that. Oh, you didn't know it? Okay. Yeah, when you say you're sorry actually for your misunderstanding. And so if someone has a legitimate reason for something that's happened, then I don't think forgiveness is necessarily needed. Understanding is needed. Patience is needed. But not forgiveness. The next one I would say, forgiveness is not reconciling. In other words, reconciliation is the bringing together of two parties and a restoring of a relationship. And I want you to know something today. It's really important. There's a difference between reconciliation and forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act upon one person to cancel the debt of another. You can forgive somebody today, regardless if they're sorry, regardless if they're humble, regardless if they admit it, and regardless if they ask. I know so many people that are waiting for that other person to ask for forgiveness. I would forgive them if they would humble themselves and they would ask me to. Well, that's, you're talking about reconciliation, bringing together a relationship, but I want you to know something really, really important. That is not necessary today for the step of forgiveness. Forgiveness comes first. Why? Jesus paid your debt while you were still sinning, while you were still sinner, before you humbled yourself and before you recognized him, he forgave you on the cross. The only difference between those in a relationship with Jesus Christ today and those that are not are those that admit, confess, and recognize what he did on the cross and accept it, bring restoration or reconciliation to the relationship. But those that do not care, that do not recognize him, who actually nailed him to the cross, those who spit in his face, those who claim that he is no one at all to be recognized or worshiped, today have been forgiven on the cross, but they are not reconciled with him in relationship, which is the important piece. But the debt has been paid. Their part has yet to been played out which is to humble, confess, and receive. Therefore, we are able to actually forgive somebody who maybe we don't even know where they live. We don't know how to get in touch with them. We don't even know their name. We don't even know if they're alive. And maybe there's someone in your life that is not alive and you have no idea how to deal with this. You carry around this debt, this anger, this bitterness, and you don't know how to deal with it because you have no way of addressing this person. I want you to know today, you can begin healing the brokenness inside of you in this relationship on your end by obedience and forgiveness. That other person does not play a role at this point. God's heart, I'll be honest with you up front, but don't be afraid of this yet. Be patient. God's heart is always reconciliation. It's the bringing together of healing in relationships. But forgiveness is a step towards a healing. It's a step, it's a commitment that you can make regardless of the other person. So forgiveness is, just to clarify again, it's a step of obedience. That's if we're gonna follow Jesus, if we're gonna receive forgiveness, if we accept that we have a debt that needs to be paid, if we're gonna live that way, if we're gonna follow him, then we are commanded, we are asked to live the way in which he lived, to follow his example, to follow his mindset, to have the same attitude that he approached people, we approach people. And so forgiveness for the follower of Jesus is simply a step of obedience. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. It's trusting in the justice of the Father. It's trusting that that person's sin has been paid for as well on the cross. And trusting that the Father will know best how to deal with them in eternity. Amen. And so it's a trust. It's an act of faith and obedience that God actually is the one who knows how to deal with this. Romans 12 says, never avenge yourself. Never avenge yourself, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. That's his job to sit in the justice seat. And when we don't forgive, what we're saying is, as a follower, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you won't forgive, what you're saying is, I'm not so sure God knows what to do with this person. He might be gracious and compassionate and slow to become angry, and I need to hold him accountable, and so I'm gonna act in God's place. I'm gonna put myself on the seat, and I'm gonna make justice happen somehow. And so if you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, then you recognize that that is his place. That's his seat. His seat is beside the Father, the seat of justice, the seat of authority. And we trust in his seat that he will make the right call. And so we allow the Father to do those things. The last thing you need to know is it's the only way to heal your brokenness. The things that you need to forgive for have most likely deeply scarred you, just like they scarred Jesus. They've hurt you. They've affected you. They've deeply changed you, I think, for all time. Just like sin did to Jesus. So we're not trying to make light of this. I'm saying the things that broke you, you will never be the same again. That is your condition, and that is where you are at. But the only way to heal is forgiveness. So let's go through this journey. Ephesians chapter 4 says that we shouldn't sin or don't sin by letting anger get control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. So this is for those that are in relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're not held accountable to this. But if you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you claim to follow him, then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and is trying to help you walk according to the way of Jesus. And so if he's helping you, he's saying, look, anger is an issue. Anger isn't actually wrong. There's things that you should be angry about. There's things that are going on today. You turn on the news and something inside of you, you should get angry. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you. The difference is we can experience anger, but the Bible says we're not to let it get control of us. We're supposed to actually deal with it the way he's asking us to deal with it. We process it through forgiveness. We process all of it through the cross. And so anger gets control of us. He says you're giving the devil a foothold in your life. A foothold is an army metaphor, which means, it's why they always like rush the beach, you know, to get a place of ground where they could set up camp and they could then wage war from that point. So you wanted a beachfront, they get a place, a foothold in a country is a place in which you could set up camp and now wage war. And so what he's saying is, although you are angry with somebody, when you hold on to that and you don't deal with that properly, there's a place now in your heart, a place in your heart where you're allowing the devil to wage war on your entire life. He's not content by keeping this relationship that you have broken. So you have a broken relationship, you have anger that you're not dealing with. He's not, the devil is not content with that. He comes to kill and destroy. He wants to wage war in all your relationships. And so if you've learned, I've learned that in when I harbor bitterness and anger against someone else, what happens, it starts to trickle over and I become angry, bitter person and I start hurting other people and my anger gets out of control and all of a sudden all my relationships become stressed and I move from relationship to relationship to relationship hoping to get better one, a better one, a better one, a better work environment, a better neighborhood, a better spouse, a better whatever, but I'm taking with me this anger and so wherever I go, it seems like my relationships are at war because the foothold is inside of me, not outside of me. So a little bit later in the chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, he says, so get rid of all this bitterness, this rage, this anger, these hard words and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. So what happens is these are all the things that happen when you allow the foothold to take place. Rage, anger, hard words, slander, all kinds of behaviors come out of this place. Instead, replace it. Be kind with each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as again, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Do it the same way he did it for you. So the context again, the context is he is never going to ask you to do anything for anyone else that he has not already done for you. So in all of our relationships with one another, he's always saying, look, I've set the stage for you. What I have done for you. And so what you've experienced in my relationship with you, what you experience in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the way you understand the way he feels about you, he's already set the table for you to take that experience and now begin to breathe out that kind of hope into the relationships all around you. To be forgiven by somebody brings hope. That's why we have hope in our relationship with Jesus Christ, because we know we're accepted and loved and forgiven. I tell you, you can have a broken relationship. Maybe there's people that you've never talked to. It can be years and years and years and years and years. Forgiveness will breathe hope into that. It just does. And it's the only way to move forward. Well, just as means, first of all, get rid of it. It's a decision that you can make. I believe today, I want you to know this, forgiveness is not a feeling. If you're waiting to feel like forgiving somebody, you're going to be waiting your whole life. It's a decision. You can choose forgiveness today. You can get rid of it today. You can get better beginning today. The cure is replacing those thoughts and those behaviors with grace, mercy, and forgiveness. That is the cure for brokenness. The context of how you go about this is just as God did it for you. That means he didn't wait for you, did he? He did it on the cross. It was his initiative. It was his decision. Before we recognized who he was, before we cared, before we asked, he forgave us. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They didn't say, Father, forgive them because they've asked. Or, Father, forgive them because I think they're recognizing who I am. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In their ignorance, I choose to pay their debt. Journey towards forgiveness. I believe this. Forgiveness today is a decision and it's a journey. It's a decision. It's a starting point. You can put a starting point on it today. You can find the person and the persons in your life in which you find there's brokenness. And how do you know who they are? They're people that simply you wish you don't bump into. You sure hope you don't bump into them. You avoid them. You go out of your way. If you know, you see a vehicle, you know they're around, or you avoid the situation. If you know they go to the 9 o'clock service, you'll show up at the 11 o'clock service. If you know that they're likely to show up at this time, you'll make sure that you're not around. Those people you wish you never see again, those are the people we're talking about. Those are big deals. Or the people when you do see it, something inside of you begins to race. You can feel it. All of a sudden, all that pain, you feel it. It floods. Your mind starts flooding. And actually, you can actually physically tighten inside of you. Those are the people we're talking about today. So let's talk about journeying towards that. First of all, you need to identify who it is you're angry, which I'm talking about. And I want you to know something. It's not as easy as you think. Because there's probably people you're mad at right now. But that might be shrapnel. That might be people that you're angry at because you're so angry, period. And you're so determined not to be hurt ever again. Never be broken like that again. That anytime anyone even starts to sound like they might be trying to hurt you, you get angry in defense and you run away. I want you to go deeper than that. And there's no other way to do it than I know than to ask God to help. You ask his Holy Spirit to convict you, to help you see the people that you're holding accountable for. And I want you to know, I've done this several times in my life. I think this is a regular habit that you need to do. He brings people to mind that I argue with him about. I'll be like, no, yeah. Remember this when you were a kid? You remember this moment? I'll be like, you're kidding me. A foothold started there. That forever changed you. And the way you're approaching this situation today is actually because of what happened here. You need to forgive that person. And so you need to take some time with identifying who this is. And I would suggest you ask God to help. There's people you probably know. Oh, I know, Sean. I know. It's right here. No problem. I get that. But I also want you to go deeper than that because that also might be someone you need to forgive, but it might be roots that you have to deal with as well. And so identify with whom you're angry. The next one is determine and name what they owe you. This is a piece that we don't do. And I want to help you today. This is really practical. So we would say, you know, you picture somebody you don't like or someone you're angry with and you're like, God, forgive them. And I forgive them. Okay, did I do it? I want you to know it's going to be a little bit harder than that. I want you to determine what it is you're forgiving. Add up the debt. It's interesting about that parable. There's a number there. There's a figure involved. I want you to add it up. What is it that they actually took from you? Start naming things. What did they take from you they can't pay back? Did you ever think of that? Maybe it was your reputation, your purity, your childhood, memories, happy birthdays you never got. The dream of having a marriage, the dream of being a person that would never be divorced. You got to start naming the foreverness that's been changed and scarred on you. You got to name it, and that's going to take some time. I would say take out a bunch of paper or a computer and start writing that down. Because the impacts of the brokenness we're talking about today are not small things. These are big things. And it might have changed every relationship you've ever had since that day. And you need to start naming what it actually is that the debt, and add it up, because that debt might add up quite a bit. But if you've ever tried to just forgive a person, a name, a face, and you find that it's not working for you, it's not sticking, because you'll remember something else they did, and then all of a sudden it all comes back and rushes in again, it's because you haven't taken the time to really think through the debt that you're actually going to release. So I want you to take some time on that, and I want you to do that with God as well. God, you need to help me with this. What's forever different about me because of this? I need to look at it. I want to face it so I can actually cancel it properly. Identify it. And I would say, the truth is this, and I know this will be the sticky part where you're like, I'm not sure I can let them go that easy. I want you to know something. For things that someone has actually hurt you deeply, there is no way they can pay it back. People have tried before. You'll see the dad that comes to the teenage, or you know, when they're 16, but abandoned them when they were 2 or 1, or and they'll say, you know what, son, I want to be this amazing dad for you now. Is that okay? I'm so sorry. I want to make it up for you. I want to be there. I want to do this. And the kid often will just look at them and say, are you crazy? There is no way you can make up for those things. You can't go back into time and be there. You can't go back into time and be at that birthday, that ball game, that time, that Christmas. You can't fix it. And so even when the heart of somebody wants to fix it, so that thing that you're holding someone accountable for today, even if they came to you today and said, what could I do to make it all better? You know deep down there is nothing they actually can do. The debt is unpayable. Every time you see a court case where someone has been horrifically offended or hurt, or someone's been killed in a drunk driving accident or something like that, they always go to the family after the judgment comes down, and the judgment can be a harsh judgment against that person, and they'll interview them in a murder case or whatever it is, and they'll run to the family and they'll say, what did you think about the judgment? They were in favor of you. They convicted them. The judge was harsh. How do you feel? The person always says the same thing. They can never pay back what they did. It will never make up for it. So even if they get justice, something about justice will never heal your brokenness. Even if you take vengeance yourself, even if you hold accountable and you try your best, you will never get the healing that you need apart from forgiveness. Next, to decide to cancel the debt. Once you've added it up, you've named everything you can name, you get to decide, do I cancel the debt? It's a choice and a journey. It's not going to be, all the thoughts and feelings won't go away. So the next step is simply to dismiss the case as it resurfaces, because it will. If you've held on to anger a long time, it probably is changing a lot of the way that you live today. I know people who revolve almost their whole life around anger. The way they do Christmas is because of someone they're angry at. The way they do holidays, the way they do interaction with other people at work, the way that they interact with all kinds of people. They've actually formed and shaped their life around an anger, a hurt, a brokenness. And so it's not that easy to cut yourself off. So when those feelings surfaces, when those thoughts come back, when those triggers come back, you have to dismiss the case and you have to claim what Jesus claimed on the cross is, no, it is finished. It is finished. And you begin that journey. My heart for our relationships is that we will have hope. I know there's a lot of questions that will come with something like this. Yeah, but if you knew my story, and there's so many stories and so many hurts and so many different ways in which they happen and so many circumstances. But the hard issue will come back to forgiveness. And I'm not suggesting this is easy, but it is the only way to healing, and it is the only way of hope. What I'm going to do is next week, after this service and the other services, I'm going to go in the chapel and we're going to have some question and answer time. So So we're going to do that today. I'm going to give you some time to think about it, because next week might even be harder. So, and you can come. And if you have questions, you can bring them along, or you can email them into the office if you like. And we're going to try to deal with some of them. Can't do it for a very long time, but I want to be able to actually interact. So if there's something that you want to ask, that you're dying to ask, next Sunday after each service, we're going to spend some time in question and answer time. All right? So I want you to process this stuff. And I said, these notes, there's a lot. They're available at the Connecting Point. If you want to pick them up, you can take them to think them through. And there's a little prayer on there as well that'll help you kind of walk through this step. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, it is so obvious of brokenness in our world today. I see it in my life. Heavenly Father, you know the brokenness that I've gone through, the brokenness I've caused, the brokenness I've experienced. I want to thank you for what you did for me. Because apart from my experience of that, I don't think I could do life with others. There are those here today who haven't yet experienced your forgiveness. And to think about forgiving another person makes no sense. And apart from that, I admit, it doesn't. I pray that if they would call on your name today, would you give them a taste? I know you offer it freely. May we breathe deeply of your forgiveness today. Thank you for what you've done for us. It's out of that we want to do life with others the same way. Teach us, show us, help us, we ask. If you're here today and you haven't yet asked Jesus to forgive your debt, I just ask. You just confess that, God, you're right about me. I need you. I need my debt covered. Scripture says he's faithful. He's faithful to his word and will forgive us our sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just thank him for that today. Heavenly Father, as we walk out of this place, empower us by your Spirit to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.